You're supposed to set the bar low, not high, when, right? Can I just say, I am honored to be here today, just to bring the word to you. I'm excited. But first, I just want to draw attention to, we have awesome children and youth pastors, and we just love the Orbistandos, and they have such a heart for the next generation that I have all the confidence in the world that this whole Christian thing is carrying on. For example, just look to the back right now. Every one of the people serving back there are 18 and under. Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean if something messes up on the screen or anything that you look back there. I'm just saying. No, they're doing great. And that excites me. As somebody who has been walking with Jesus for 30 plus years, to see that next generation catching the fire and passionate about Jesus and passionate about moving ahead and spreading the word. Amen. Well, I am excited to be here today. I feel a little bit, does anyone remember Hans and Franz from Saturday Night Live? You know, they'd come out, "I'm here to pump you up," right? That's what I feel like when I have the opportunity to share the word of God. It's like, okay, come on now. We're going to get pumped up because this is truth. And what God did in the Bible is amazing. And what he is doing right here today in each and every one of our hearts is amazing. The whole fact that we get to walk out life this side of eternity full of the Holy Spirit, with him paving the way and seeing miracles happen in our midst and people come into Jesus, people being set free, myself included, is amazing. It is a miracle. I know when I first got saved, I think they just wanted to kind of give me something to do to kind of keep me focused, because I was so excited with things that I was learning in the Word, that I was teaching a first and second grade class, and often I would be reading the story that I was going to be teaching, and it was the first time I'd ever read it. And so as I'm going through and studying it and looking at the lesson, I would just get so pumped up and excited. By the time the kids got there, and I'm just like, "You guys, did you know about this dude named David? He was like, you know, a teenager," and I would just explain it, and there was such life in it because it was exciting. I grew up in church and heard these names, but I had no clue how it all went together. And so I would learn it now. You know, I've given my life to Jesus, and I would read the word and come and bring it, and it was just a wonderful time. So I don't feel any different today standing before you, except some of us have different hair colors than maybe my first and second grade class. But the truth of the word and the power of Jesus is the same. Today we're going to be learning about, you know, Pastor Mike's been taking us through this series on the acts of the Holy Spirit. And today, the topic that we're going to cover is just how the Holy Spirit prepares us. Go ahead to the next slide. He is the Spirit of preparation in our lives. This is ringing back a little bit, just to let you guys know. And I have crossed over now. I am a grandma, so the glasses will come on periodically. But we are going to be reading the story of Cornelius and Peter today. It's in Acts chapter 10. And there's going to be a lot of reading on this front end, just because the story is, it's hard to break apart. And what I want to talk about today is how the Holy Spirit came and gave Cornelius a vision, and then the Holy Spirit gave Peter a vision in a different location. And then the last part of the story is where the Holy Spirit pours out on the entire household. So it's hard not to read some of it. So if you can just bear with me, and let's read this story together, all right? At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. So just the information that we're given right there shows us Cornelius is a Gentile. He is not a Jewish person or someone that has completely converted to Judaism. But he did have a faithful life seeking after God. And here, even when it says about 3 p.m. was a very traditional time for the Jewish culture to stop and spend time in prayer. And he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. I can't imagine, can you? I mean, I love Jesus, I seek him, I pray all the time, and he's given me words before, but here's a guy going through the motions of what the Jewish religion requires, but then all of a sudden, "Cornelius," that would kind of get my attention. He stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel said, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God." Here he is now getting recognition from God. "Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." So all of this is along the Mediterranean coastline, and I'm going to show you a map here in just a minute. "When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called 2 of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa." Now, I can't imagine him going, "Come here, guys. Okay, I want you to go down to Joppa because God just gave me this vision." You think that's his attitude at that point? I think he was like, "Oh my goodness, guys, come here now." And he immediately responded and sends them on their way and explains to them the vision. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, so here they are coming into town, Peter went up on the roof to pray. It was another prayer time. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its 4 corners. It contained all kinds of 4-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God made clean." This happened 3 times. And immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. So the timing of all of this is just amazing. He just has the vision and he's now wondering, "Lord, what does this mean? What are you saying? I've never eaten anything unclean. I live by your law," all of these things. And at the same time, these guys arrive at the house. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, 3 men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." So this is even amazing because these men were Gentiles, and there was always such a separation between the Jews and the Gentiles. They didn't eat together. They didn't fellowship together. It was frowned upon to go to, if you were Jewish, to go to a Gentile's home, or a Gentile to come to the Jewish home. So they're standing outside, and really by faith, in the midst of this whole culture, they're calling out to a Jewish person, and they are Gentile, which is a no-no. But then he comes, and the Holy Spirit speaks to him, and this is where the Holy Spirit prepares us, right? He prepares us and gives us words for things that he is setting up for us to do. So it says, Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for." And to me, this is just confirmation. They're getting confirmation that this vision that they were told, hey, this guy knew we were coming. As well as he's up on the roof and the Holy Spirit says, go down. There's three guys down there. Go with them. Even though this is not something you would normally do. He says, why have you come? The men replied, we have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. So here they're setting up. I know that we are coming on behalf of someone that is a Gentile, but even in our community, the Jewish population respects him because he was a righteous man in God's eyes. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. Now this is, again, another huge cultural no-no that is happening. Because not only does Peter come down and listens to them, then he opens up his home and invites them into the home, and they share a meal together. God is just blowing the doors off of prejudice here. Because the Jews thought that the Messiah is coming to bring us freedom and peace and victory just for the Jewish people. And in this story, what God is doing is saying, no, Jesus came for all humanity, every nation. There is no one that is excluded from the sacrifice I made. This is exciting when you look at it with that cultural context. So the following day he arrived, or the next day Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. So there's differing ideas of that. Some scholars believe that some of the Jewish believers went to make sure everything was appropriate because here he is being invited to a Gentile household. Others think that these other believers went along as encouragement and support because he is about to do something that no one has ever done. And accept a whole people group and come face to face with them that has never happened before. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. I can't imagine, after Cornelius has this vision, sends these guys off, I bet he's just on the edge of his seat the whole time. It's like, what is going to happen? What is about to happen? Here I come faithfully and pray and give to the poor, but God just spoke to me and he's bringing someone here that I'm supposed to listen to. So as Peter entered the house, again, crossing that cultural prejudice, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence, but Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said, I am only a man. Now, when I put myself in Cornelius's shoes, I'm thinking I would be so overwhelmed that, oh my goodness, what you told me, God, is happening. I've had those moments before where God planted something in my heart. And then when I'm in the season of seeing it happen, it's just like, I don't want to say I can't believe it because I believe it, but I'm not used to it. And so Cornelius is having one of those moments of just, oh my goodness. While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people, because I can't imagine Cornelius keeping his mouth shut. Come in, all his neighbors, all of his relatives and stuff. You've got to come and hear what this man has to say. He said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. So right off the bat, Peter is setting this up. This isn't normal. This is unusual. But what I hear in that is the heart of God. There is no place he won't go. There's no distance he won't travel to reveal himself to someone and invite them to enter into the kingdom. So he's setting that up. And actually, where he says it is against our law for a Jew, that actually was more tradition than it was not written in the law of God. So that seeps into our cultures and into our churches sometimes, that tradition. But God has shown me, so in this moment, he is telling them, I shouldn't be here. you aren't worthy of me kind of a thing. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me? Cornelius answered, 3 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 p.m. Suddenly, a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He's a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Then Peter began to speak. So up until this point, Peter's not even sure why he's there. He knows that God has done a work in his heart saying, if I deem someone clean, then who are you to say they're unclean and not have fellowship or not go to them? And so here we're coming to that place where Cornelius responds immediately. Peter responds immediately. Remember, he's still pondering this huge, huge cultural chasm that he's about to step across. You know, in our day, we want to study it. We want to pray about it. We want to seek counsel. Does this sound like the Lord? When in this moment, both of them, their immediate response was obedience. Stepping right out and doing that. I may not understand it, but this is what the Holy Spirit told me. He's prepared me for this. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. Can you read that part with me from I Now Realize? I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. Lord Jesus, I pray this morning that you would open our hearts. Lord, that you would reveal in our own life and heart and mind prejudices that we may have. Maybe there's boundaries that we have put in place that you're saying, you need to get rid of that boundary because that person was made in my image. And I keep no one from coming to me. Lord, I pray that you would open our minds and hearts just to be teachable. Lord, to listen and hear your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, everybody said, amen. So I have a map here. So this shows you where Caesarea is. So the blue on the left, that's the Mediterranean Sea. So Caesarea is right below the port that is used right now called Haifa. And then you go down to Joppa. And that area of Joppa, especially right above Joppa, is now present-day Tel Aviv. And we were able to go there in, I think it was 2007 was the last time we were there. And then we were supposed to go in 2000, blah, in 2000, blah. One day we will return, right? But I was training for Hood to Coast at the time that we were on this trip, and we were there in July, and so I had a training run that I had to do the following morning after we got there. So I talked with a few other leaders that were there that were also runners, and we were staying in Tel Aviv, so we didn't make the trek that Cornelius's men and Peter did. It's about 30, 35 miles from Caesarea to Joppa. But I was like, right above the red mark for Joppa, that part of Tel Aviv, we were staying in a hotel. And what we did is we got up the next morning and ran along the coastline to Joppa, and we actually ran to Simon the Tanner's house. They have a sign there. And just, they say, you know, tradition tells us that this is where we celebrate that house was. But they do know, they can narrow it down quite a bit, because it was an area of the city where people with those kinds of trades lived and worked. And he was a tanner, which was not a great career. But so there's this sign there, and I just felt so spiritual. that I made that trek. Well, I only did 3 miles of it, not the 30 to 35, but but we did. We turned around at Simon the Tanner's house and then went back to our hotel. It was kind of fun. But yeah, for them to walk in that day, it would have taken, they think around, let's see, 30, 35 miles was about 13 hours to make that trip. And that's why that makes sense in the timeline of when he got the vision and they left and they arrived and then they returned and all of that. So you could drive it in about 43 minutes, but they didn't have cars back then, so it took a little bit longer. Anyway, so our first point is that we need to be attentive to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because I believe he's always ready to speak to us, but we're not always ready to listen. Or we don't keep ourselves in a posture of hearing from him. Cornelius was in prayer when he received his vision. He was devout in that way. The same with Peter. He was going up on the roof to pray. So in his life, he had that space, that rhythm to commune with the Lord and to hear from the Holy Spirit. In order to hear from the Lord, we need to be spending time with him, right? I talk to Jesus all day long. He's my go-to. And people probably think I'm talking to myself most of the time, but I don't care. But to make sure that you're carving out that space in your life of spending time of communing with him in prayer, Ephesians 6, 18 and 19 says this. You can read it with me if you'd like. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. You know, I have two experiences just in the last couple years. One was just a couple months ago where the Holy Spirit spoke something to me. And it was those times, both of these specifically had to do with being ready. You need to be ready. One was about 5 years ago or 4 years ago. It was just before COVID. And we were getting ready for our women's retreat, our women's spring retreat. And I had been in conversation with our speaker for a couple months. We had been praying together about the theme of the retreat and everything. And she was really excited, and the Lord had given her this great word. And about 2 weeks before retreat, the Holy Spirit just started nudging me about, you need to be ready. I'm like, okay. And I felt like he began to really download vision for this retreat that was coming up. And because of some personal tragedies that happened, this person's father was passing away. And her husband calls me the day before retreat. And he says, I am so sorry to do this, but I have to make a call and she's not going to be available. The next day is retreat. And I don't have anything formally prepared, but I had such a peace in my heart and in my spirit. I said, don't even worry about it. For about a week, the Holy Spirit has been getting me ready and preparing me. And then I got off the phone with them, and I called Nadine, and I said, okay, here's the deal. And same with her. She's like, okay. So we talked about the different topics and the different things, and we were the speakers for that retreat. Had I not been a little bit aware or warned, or prepared by the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't have had that reaction, don't worry about it. I would have been, don't worry about it. Would have been a little more frightful. But there is nothing like the peace of the Holy Spirit. When you know he has spoken to you, that even though I didn't have like my entire message, you know, lined out or anything like that, I knew it was going to be okay. It was in his hands, and we had a great time. And hopefully no one noticed that we weren't supposed to be the speakers. But and then just a month or so ago, when Easter happened, I had the same experience. We had been practicing for the Easter production, and Jonathan and Paige had organized this whole thing and put all this work in, and I was just supposed to play keyboard. And like the day before, they both got sick and could not, weren't able to even be here at Easter. But everybody pulled it off, and I told them for the two weeks prior to that, when we were practicing, I'm back there just playing keyboard, and for some reason, the Holy Spirit just kept saying, pay attention, listen to these words. And so I had been like practicing these songs, and then had the opportunity when they couldn't make it to be able to fill in. But that's the beauty of the Holy Spirit, is he keeps things, you know, continuous. He keeps some, you know, he covers, right? And we can have that confidence. He's going to cover me too in times that I need it. This is still ringing back a little bit. And so I just love that we can confidently live our life knowing that the Holy Spirit is there with you. He's covering. He knows what's coming down the road. He knows what he's prepared you for as well. Amen? So if we do not take time to listen to the Holy Spirit, we cannot hear him or be led by him. If we're walking around like this, we're going to miss out on opportunities. We're going to miss out on blessings. We're going to miss out on growth in our life. Both Peter and Cornelius, they regularly spent time in prayer. They made the time to hear from him. And it's dangerous, I tell you. If we don't, then this is what happens. In 2 Kings 17, it says this: but they would not listen and were as stiff-necked as their ancestors, who did not trust in the Lord their God. Now, when I think of, like, stiff-necked someone, you know, the definition is someone that's stubborn, but I don't like that because I can tend to be tenacious. That's the word I use for that quality. but to really be stiff-necked and is you know, you are immovable. You know, your head is set, your jaw is jutting out, your ears are closed, your teeth are clenched. You're unwilling to be led somewhere. And when I read that, it reminded me of my beautiful daughter. The first time that we met her. So we got called on a Wednesday night about this opportunity to bring in this brother and sister that were 2 and 3 into our home. And they needed to know by Saturday. And we were like, okay. Long story short, we ended up meeting the foster parents and these kids for breakfast at McDonald's. And we're in the play area. And so we're just all eating and talking, and the kids are playing in the back when they had it, the play area. And it was time to go. And so the foster mom gets up and she's like, Yolanda, okay, it's time to go. Come on out. And she is standing at the entrance just inside the play area. And she puts her feet like this, and her hair is just all over because she's been, you know, playing in the area. And she looks straight ahead at her foster mom, and her hands get clenched and they're straight down to her side. And she goes, And in that moment I said, oh, that's a kindred spirit. That's my daughter. So I'm not just telling on her, I'm telling on myself as well. But actually, it was in that moment that the Holy Spirit sewed my heart to hers. And I just thought, that is my girl. So even though it reminds me of being stiff-necked, God redeemed even that. The next thing is that we have to be willing to respond. So not only aware and attentive to be listening for the Holy Spirit and to be open to hear him, but then what do? We can hear it all day long, but do we do anything about it? A lot of times the Holy Spirit will speak to me and it sounds like, stop. Like, stop what you're doing right now. You know, think, whatever. Sometimes it may be a whole vision or a whole, you know, sentence. But a lot of times it's stop or engage right where you're at. Repent. Buy that. And he'll tell me who for. Just those little things. Like that. Other times there's a little bit more, but there has to be that willingness. Cornelius, the word says immediately. Say immediately. He immediately responded and sent 3 men to Joppa. He didn't wait around a day or think about it or talk to anybody else. He was just like, got it. Guys, come here. Go. Immediately. Peter While he was still pondering what was going on in that vision, he's still downloading it, he was called. The Holy Spirit told him, there's three men here, go with them. So he immediately went down to meet the men, invited them in, and departed for Cornelius's house. There's a theme I'm seeing here. I think sometimes I wait a little long, trying to make sure or weigh out, oh, is this the Lord? Is it my thoughts? Usually I get to the point, is anything negative or unscriptural about this? If not, then I'm just going to be obedient. I'm going to do it. If it wasn't the Holy Spirit, but it was a great idea, yay me. But I would rather err on that side than not being responsive and responding to what the Holy Spirit's saying. Obeying the Holy Spirit can change someone's life. In the simple little things that we have no clue about, it might be a whole turning point in someone's life. It could be as much as a smile. Just saying, I see you. You don't know what's going on in their heart or in their mind. I had this experience. I was dropping off when Sam was younger. He went to preschool, and I drop him off and pick him up every day. And I kept seeing this same mom with their child really struggling. And at first, honestly, I was a little judgmental, which I have completely repented of in all these years, not knowing the backstory, not knowing what was causing the actions, the behaviors to happen. I would just be like, ooh, you know, take my kid in and out. This happened for a couple weeks, and then one day I was coming out. I had just dropped Sam off. I was coming out, and the Holy Spirit got me. First convicted me of that judgmentalism and said, go talk. And so my car was next to theirs, and I went over and just introduced myself and said, I noticed our kids both attend, and struck up a conversation, and the Lord immediately opened up this opportunity of this person just pouring out what was going on in their life. I was just saying hi. But I tell you, a hi when the Holy Spirit says to say it can change someone's life. And we began to talk. I think I had Bible study to get back to. but I knew that this was a God moment right here. And the next day, this person caught me outside. And I had invited them to church and to different things. And just to be a friend and a support. And they told me, you have no idea. But after I was going to drop my child off, I had my last $20. I was going to go down to my drug dealer and get some meth and be done. But it was that moment in that day that the Holy Spirit even broke through my judgmentalism and said, there's a life here that I want to touch. And just the hope of that little bit of, and it's not me, I'm just saying thank you, Holy Spirit, right? We can give him praise all day long because I'm, you know, a blind human that just goes through life. But that's where I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, attentive and willing to respond. Not, I got to get to Bible study and get the coffee on. Or, I mean, wouldn't that be horrible if people show up and there's not coffee to drink? And he said, well, yes, Lois is like, that's right. That's why I'm here. Or is someone's life hanging in the balance here? That taking 2 minutes to acknowledge them and just talk to them. I didn't lay out God's plan and all of that stuff. I was just being obedient to what the Lord had put before me. James 1:22 says this. I love this scripture. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. What's it say? What? Do what it says. The word from the Holy Spirit. Do what it says. The rest of that scripture says, otherwise you're like somebody looking at their face in a mirror and you turn around and you don't remember what you look like. We can read the word all day long, but are we putting it into action? Are we responding to it? When we hear a word from the Holy Spirit, it can change everything. Everything. Our attitude can change. Our prejudice can change. The rules in how we live our life can change. It says, while still pondering the vision, Peter spoke with the three men, invited them into his home, and ate with them. He didn't hesitate to respond to the challenge that he must have been struggling in getting the vision to now accept Gentiles as clean. God does not show favoritism. Just this last week, I've been traveling a lot for my other job where I serve in the district, and have really enjoyed just getting to know other congregations and what God is doing in their communities. But not all of this stuff is fun. I get to go and install pastors, and it's fun and wonderful. And I was going to talk with a council that is going through transition. And so we're preparing them to receive a new pastor. And before we do that, we write up a profile kind of on the community, on the church, you know, get to understand the culture. The qualities and characteristics that they desire in a pastor. And so that was the purpose of the meeting. But I didn't realize we were walking into a tense situation. There was a whole other agenda. And my area pastor and I, we sat down, and immediately one of the councilmen, very outspoken, before we even get started, starts talking. Says, I have a question. I want to know why blah, blah, blah happened and blah, blah, blah is the result. And this had to do with a tense relationship on the staff of the church and some things that had happened. And we continued to talk. All of the council people were carrying something that was unresolved and keeping us from doing what we were there for. But I could hear hurt in what they were saying. I could hear frustration. And they couldn't let it go, but I appreciate that because it was really the elephant in the room. And I know in my younger days, I never wanted to recognize the elephant in the room, but it's so healthy to do that. Just say, okay, there's something going on here that we need to take care of first. And this person kept talking, and then as we heard what was coming, we realized that there was a burden that had been placed on the council to operate in a way that they really weren't called to operate or carry the weight of the burden that they were upset about. And so I shared that with them, and we continued talking, and then this is after like a half an hour of kind of in-your-face stuff. This councilman that had been so outspoken took the floor. He said, I need to share this. He said, I've been raised and taught that we're not supposed to carry other people's offenses. You know, like somebody over here, they're having a problem, a quabble, and they draw other people into it, and then they're offended that this is going on and everything. And he just confessed. He's got tears in his eyes, and he says, Holy Spirit just convicted me, and I've been carrying someone else's offense, and it's not mine to carry. And I just need you all to know that, and I repent. And it was such an amazing experience for me, one of those life lessons, to see this godly man who was not being very godly, but he still was listening to the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit spoke and convicted him, he didn't just let it go, sweep it under the rug or anything. He confessed in front of this whole group of people. And in that moment, it broke. The whole tension, the whole issue, every single one of those council people, you could see they just let it go because it wasn't theirs to carry. It was a miracle. And I'm looking at my area pastor, and we're just like, oh my goodness, this was a Holy Spirit moment. God, give me that heart to never put up a wall to where I can't change or I can't hear you. Because he brought life and freedom. And then we continued on with the meeting and had an amazing time getting all the information for the profile. But that was significant, not only in that man's life, but for that entire church and community. Because it was kind of a thing that normally happened. You hear about somebody over here that gets offended, and everybody else then would join that offense. That is not how we are to live our life. So a couple lessons that you can take from that is to hear the Holy Spirit and respond, because it brought life and it brought freedom and it brought healing, as well as don't carry someone else's offense. It was awesome. The scripture that I have is Romans 12, 3 to 6 in, like for Peter, not to think that you are so important that you can't go to these people. It says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. We're always to put other people before us. In accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you, for just as each of us has one body with many members, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others. Amen? The last thing I wanted to talk about, you know, to be attentive to the Holy Spirit, to be willing to respond, and to be anticipating to receive. And this really in two ways, not only to receive ourselves, but to receive a word and then sometimes to give it to others and for them to receive it. Receiving encouragement from someone tuned into the Holy Spirit is so timely. Have you ever experienced that where you're going through something or you're, crying out to the Lord and stuff, and just out of the blue, a friend or someone comes and they just have the right word at the right time? It's like, oh, I needed to hear that. Actually, on my way to this meeting, I was on the phone with my supervisor and became aware of something that I passionately disagree with, a decision that was made. And so he and I are discussing it and everything, and I was not happy, and then I lost coverage, and then it's awkward, you know, and I'm driving along. But when I came back into coverage, a friend of mine called on just out of the blue. He's another regional pastor, and he was traveling around visiting churches that day, and he says, I just felt like I needed to call Molly Cook. How are you doing? And I said, funny, you should ask. But it reminds me of Proverbs 25:11. It says, a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. I want to walk with the Holy Spirit in a way that the words that I speak are just like, oh, that was beautiful. It fit. It was perfect. And it can revive and encourage someone beyond. So that's just beautiful. We should believe and expect the Holy Spirit to speak to us and through us. Can you say yes to that? Because this is a call kind of to action for all of us. Because I've been talking about all of these things, but then there comes an opportunity of what are we going to do with that? So I want to be believing and expecting for the Holy Spirit to speak to me and through me to other people. A few weeks ago, I was in the back during worship, and I felt like the Lord gave me a word for a person, and I went up and gave that word to them. It was just an encouragement, and I want to see that. I haven't seen that happening in my life very often recently, and I think it's because I'm not listening or aware. I'm coming in with my filter of how does this affect me? What am I going to get out of this? Rather than, oh, Lord, I'm just here to worship you and send me. Direct me. Have you ever received a word from somebody? It could just be like, God sees you. God loves you. And it was at a time that was just like, man, I was just thinking, I don't know where God is. Life-changing things like that. You know, Cornelius was the first Gentile to receive the gospel and be saved. Read the rest of Acts 10 when you go from here today, because there's the whole other section that I didn't read that I cut out just for the sake of time. That after Peter said, you know, they say, so speak to us. And he's like, oh, okay. And he just goes into this whole testimony about Jesus, who Jesus is. And then the Holy Spirit falls upon all these people and they're prophesying and praising God in tongues. And then the other Jewish believers are even like, wow, God even pours his Holy Spirit out on the Gentiles? And this whole story was the beginning of breaking down that God came for all humanity, for each and every nation and person, not just the Jewish nation. So read the rest of that story. It's just amazing and beautiful. Because Cornelius was doing the right things, right? He was praying, he was giving, he was righteous. Even the Jewish people said, he's a righteous man. But he didn't know him yet. He didn't know Jesus yet. I had the same experience. I grew up in church, and I loved God, and I never doubted that there was a God, but I didn't know Jesus. It was like that final step of receiving Jesus into my life. And I remember, you know, in my early 20s, just thinking, Lord, God, either there's more of you, and I want it all. I'm all in. But if this is all there is, I'm just playing a game and I don't want it anymore. I'm not going to fool around. And in that time of seeking, God revealed himself to me because I knew something was missing. You know, sometimes we say it's easy to witness to somebody that is really down and out and they have no hope because there's a lot missing then. But even someone that is well off and living life like a dream and has no issues with finances or anything like that, I know there's still something missing. And that's what I speak to when I meet these kinds of people. It's like, you're not satisfied. There's still something missing. And the word says in Jeremiah, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. This is kind of a mantra of mine. I think I may have even ended with this exact scripture last time I spoke. Do you remember, Mike? You were probably going, she's done this one before. Yeah. But that's where my heart is. And I know that if you don't know if God is real, if you seek him, he will be found by you. It took me maybe a year and a half of truly seeking, praying to God, what is going on? Reveal to me if there is more of you, because I don't get this. I don't want this. And he did. He was faithful. It doesn't happen like that. You know, the New Testament says God cannot be mocked. We can't fake it with him. He knows when we're truly giving our whole heart. And the Bible promises, when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I just want to give opportunity this morning. You know, if you're at a place where it's like, yeah, I know a lot about God, but I don't know him like that. And you want to take a step today of saying, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to take that next step and really ask Jesus to come into my life, to forgive me of my sins and be completely all in. We're going to do that today. We're going to have a time of prayer. If you just want ears to hear the Holy Spirit, you're feeling like, I need to like dust off the shelf because I love God and I pray and I do devotions, I read the Bible, but I don't know that I have been ready to listen and respond. And you just want to kind of clean that up today, then I invite you to pray. And we're going to take that step as well. Because I tell you what, church, even in a small community, a small church can change the world if we are living by the Holy Spirit. If we are walking as Jesus walked and he has empowered us and he is working through us. Can you say amen to that? That's what I love about God's economy is I never feel bad about where I live or when I grew up in a very small town and I used to feel like very unworthy or like, well, I could never do that or anything. And I love it because then I get saved and it's like, you know what? The whole world is before you and God can use you. He can bless you to do mighty things. Can we just pray? If you are at that place that I talked about, that you want to be all in, and you want to know Jesus, we're going to pray in a minute, but if you can just look up at me so that I can just agree with you as we pray that. Because this is a significant, yeah. eternally significant moment in your life right now. So for you to be bold and just say, that's me, I'm all in. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And also, if you're at that place where you need that dusting to happen on your Holy Spirit shelf, it's like, clean out the cobwebs, Lord. I want to be on fire. I want to be empowered. I want to be going along and hear a word and just respond and see you do a miracle. Just look up at me, because we're going to pray for the Holy Spirit just to fall upon us today. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. We are the army of God. Can you just stand with me as we close today? Just repeat this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge you as the Lord of my life. Thank you for the forgiveness of your sacrifice that brings life into me, where I will spend eternity with you. And before that happens, I make myself available for you to move through, move in, and speak to me. I just want to be obedient. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for this time where we can come together, Lord, like Pastor Mike says, we come into the huddle in the locker room and we're encouraged and refreshed and hear about you. But now the game begins, Lord. Now we say teamwork and we go into all the areas of our life, knowing that we don't have to change our entire life to serve you. It can just be in the day-to-day, how we're living, you can use us to impact the world. I pray for your protection and your anointing on each and every person. In the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Thank you so much for coming. Let's go, team.